Worship. It's always good, but man, it was just kind of red hot today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, we just finished 14 days of prayer and fasting, and we got praise God. I hope you're whooping and hollering, not because the fasting is over, but because of all the good things that are going to happen as a result of it, right? And hopefully this is not the only time you fast in the year. I got it done. I got 300 and whatever days. I don't have to worry about it. No, it really should be a lifestyle for us. But I appreciate everybody that came out to prayer. We had prayer every day, corporate prayer, and I really believe we gave the devil a migraine and kingdom of God. What is going on with my tablet? It's been doing this to me lately. There we go. Hallelujah. I was just thinking about our finances a little bit. I want to pray over you, but you know, very well-known scriptures, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. How many know that scripture? Just about everybody here. Probably memorized that. But I was reading a devotional, and the gentleman, the author, was kind of explaining, kind of diving a little bit deeper into some of the words, and he was looking at the word supply. My God shall supply all of your needs. And it literally means, there's several different meanings in the original language. It means to fill to the full. It means to cram the net full. And it means to cause to abound. So sometimes we just glide over those words. We don't really think about it. But I mean, God's saying, I can cram the net full. They're not going to just be a little bit, not going to be half full, but it's going to be full and running over. And so Dick Mills, the author, this is the way he paraphrased that. But my God will liberally, fully, gloriously, amply, and abundantly supply all your need by imparting richly and furnishing abundantly in a lavish and magnificent way. I like that, don't you? That's the God we serve. He's not a barely get along God. You know, just going to barely make it to the end of the month. No, he wants to do more than that. And by the way, that promise in Philippians 4 was written to those who were supporting Paul in his mission efforts, basically helping him to spread the gospel. And so that's our part. God said, this is what I'm going to do, but our part is to get involved and help spread the gospel, whether it's here locally, missions, wherever God leads you to do. So, Lord, today we thank you for that promise. Lord, no matter where we're at financially, we can go up from there because you, our God, have the ability to provide all that we need to cram the net full in every dimension of our life. We thank you for that. Help us to be faithful to continue to give as you lead us and guide us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in a series, this part two, on hearing God's voice. And last week we looked at the fact that Jesus promised to speak to us. If we're a sheep, how many sheep do we got here? Yeah, let me hear that sheep noise again. Oh, who did that? Somebody right here. That was just almost perfect right down here. I think you are part sheep, whoever you are. And Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. Now, he's not talking about folks that are not his sheep. But if you're his sheep, you belong in the sheepfold, you've trusted in Christ. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. You're going to hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Why do you think it's very important for sheep to follow a shepherd? Well, this is what I think. This is my opinion. My sermon, I can preach what I want. I think sheep are dumb. I really do. I think sheep are dumb. I said that one time, this was years ago, and there was a gal here that was attending the church at that time. She's not anymore. But she had sheep of her own. She came up in a very serious voice after service, said, my sheep are not dumb. My sheep are very, very smart. I'm thinking, love is blind. I don't know. No, sheep are dumb. They're so dumb that they can't even find their own grazing pasture on their own. Listen, deer can find, elk, antelope. I mean, they can all find their own grazing, but not sheep. They will wander around, literally, they will wander around in the same pasture until they eat everything down to the dirt and eventually die if nobody, you know, no shepherd leads him to another pasture. I ran across this. This was actually appeared in a newspaper in Turkey, Istanbul, and it was reported in the newspaper that there were some shepherds of a very large flock of sheep. And one morning, they decided they needed some breakfast, and just for about 30 minutes, they left the sheep untended. Everything looked great, and they went and had some breakfast. While they were gone, one of the sheep decided he was going to be the leader of the rest of the sheep, and he took off, and he went over a 45-foot cliff and died. 450 other sheep went over and died. There was actually an additional 1,100 sheep that went over. They didn't die because they fell on the bodies of the 450 that were already down there. How many know that's dumb? That's dumb. Now, I don't mean to offend you by this, but the Bible over and over in the Bible calls us sheep. Psalms 100 verse 3, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So whether we realize it or not, we are sheep, and we need a shepherd.
Yes.
And we need to hear the voice of the shepherd.
Yes.
So we can go in the right direction, right? Last week, we looked at four steps, just a quick review of how to hear God's voice. Number one, you got to ask Him. You got to be intentional about this. Lord, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then we need to listen to what He says. We need to do what He tells you to do. And then we need to turn down the volume of the world around us. Because often God speaks in a whisper, right? Often God speaks in a whisper. So we got to turn down the volume. Now I believe it really pleases God when we seek to hear His voice. I believe it blesses the heart of God when we desire to hear His voice more than any other voice. We value the voice of God. And we say, speak, Lord God, I need to hear your voice. I'm not going to make it on my own. Don't want to make it on my own. I desperately need to hear you. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon was a young man when he succeeded his father David as king of Israel. Now, that was a hard act to follow. David was, I believe, the greatest king that Israel ever had. I think they had the greatest spirituality in the kingdom than any other time. The kingdom expanded geographically more than any other time under David's rule. And so then here comes young Solomon following him. And he realizes that he's inexperienced. He's young. He feels inadequate for the task. I can relate, you know, when I followed my dad here in ministry, he'd preached here for 38 years. And man, he was a strong man of God and operating the gifts of the Spirit and just had amazing wisdom. And here I come along, you know, and I feel inexperienced and inadequate. I literally felt it would probably be easier to climb Mount Everest than to follow him in ministry at that time. The Lord had to teach me to depend on him. So one night, Solomon, here he is in that condition, thinking all these things, you know, man, how am I going to lead this people? And God appears to Solomon in a dream, and he asks him, Solomon, what do you want? I'm going to give you anything you want. You just name it. And he meant it. Solomon could have asked for anything. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for long life. He could have asked for the life of his, lives of his enemies, influence, honor, anything he wanted. I mean, God was serious about that. But Solomon asked for something else. What do you think he asked for? Let me hear you.
Wisdom.
And really, I think the majority of Christians probably believe and think that that's exactly what he asked for, is wisdom. And certainly what he did ask for led to wisdom, but he actually asked for something else. In 1 Kings 3 verse 9, in the NIV version, it says this. Solomon said this to God in response. So give your servant, listen, a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Other versions, there are several other versions, he says, give your servant an understanding mind. But actually the Hebrew, if you dig into it, and the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the original language, you dive a little bit deeper, what Solomon was actually asking for. And a lot of times, this will be in the margin of your Bible. under literal, original. What Solomon was actually asking for was a hearing heart. Literally, he was saying, God, give me a hearing heart so that I will be able to lead this great people, because I'm not able to do it on my own. I am inadequate. I am inexperienced. I don't have the wisdom. Give me a hearing heart. The Message version, which is actually a paraphrase, but interestingly in this situation, I think it is the most accurate of all of them. It says this, 1 Kings 3:9, The Message. Here's what I want, Solomon responds. Give me a God-listening heart. Yeah. So I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil, for who on their own is capable of leading this great people? God, give me a God-listening heart. Now, he needed wisdom, but he wasn't asking for a download of wisdom, like someone would download software into a new computer, and then from that point on, he just had all the wisdom that he needed. Whatever happened, he had this download of wisdom, and that was it. I mean, if that was the case, he really wouldn't even need God anymore. He would just have all the wisdom that he needed, but that's not what he asked. He asked for a heart that was open and receptive to God's voice, so that on a day-by-day basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, whatever the situation was, as he faced decisions and challenges, he was asking that he could hear God's voice so that God would give him the wisdom that he needed for that particular situation, for that particular decision. Not this one big download, but God, basically what he's saying, I want to walk in such intimate relationship with you that my heart is always hearing you. And no matter what it is I face, I mean, I might not even know. It might be something I know. I'm thinking about a meeting. I don't know how to handle it. It might be something that just comes up during my day. But God, I want to live in such close proximity to you with my heart tuned to your voice that no matter what happens, I'm tuned in and I hear you saying, son, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to go. God, give me a God-listening heart. God was so pleased with that request that he gave him what he asked for, but then he gave him everything that he didn't ask for. He gave him the riches. He gave him the honor. He gave him the influence. God was so pleased with that request. And I believe God is pleased with us when we come to him and say, God, I want to hear your voice. Tune my ears. Give me a hearing heart. You know, I've just kind of been a dumb sheep, you know, and kind of going on my own and sometimes falling off some cliffs and maybe surviving with a broken leg or something, get back up and make another detour. Lord, I'm tired of living that way. Lord, I want to live in a way that I'm just tuned into you every single day, every decision, every situation, every encounter. Lord, give me a God-listening heart. Now, one of the signs of spiritual maturity, according to Scripture, is really the ability to hear the voice of God. Romans 8:14. This is a scripture that's been on my heart for the last number of weeks. I read through Romans, and when I got to Romans 8, reading down, got to 14, and this thing just kind of highlighted. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're all led by something. Come on. I mean, we're led by our emotions. We can be led by carnal desires. We can be led by friends, influenced by others around us. We can be led by what's happening on social media. But the scripture says those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the children of God. Now, the word children in the original language does not refer to small children. It actually refers to mature adult children. Like all three of my kids. They're out of the home. They're not under my care. They're not under my responsibility. They're all in their 20s. And really that's kind of what it's talking about. Talking about mature adult children. And it refers to believers, listen, who through practice and experience of listening to God's voice and obeying his voice, it's resulted in spiritual growth and maturity in their life. Yeah. They've just walked for so long, listening to God, tuning into God, doing what God has is telling them to do moment by moment, day by day, that it's led to spiritual growth in their life and brought them to a place of maturity. You know, I was thinking back in the early days of my walk with the Lord. I got saved when I was a child. I got baptized in the Columbia River at the age of 7. Had some experience with God. Got away from the Lord in my teen years. And up to the age of 22, I recommitted my life back to Christ. And the early years of my walk with the Lord, I went to my dad. Anytime I needed wisdom for anything, anytime I needed advice, anytime I had a decision or didn't know what to do, I got this decision, what should I do? Dad, I got this situation, what do you think I should do? And he always had wisdom, man of God, and he would sit back, and I'd go in his office there, and he would sit back in his chair. You know, he always did that. Just, he'd listen to you, kind of lean forward, but after you were done, he would lean back in his chair. And usually he would lift his left hand up, take his index finger, say, well, you need to do this, this, and this. How many old timers ever experienced that? You remember that? You need to do this, and this, and this. And if you actually did this, this, and this, well, it usually worked out real well for you. But you know what? There was a time that I came to in my walk with the Lord when I heard God speak to me and say, I want you to start coming to me for wisdom and guidance. I didn't hear an audible voice. I don't necessarily know if I heard words in my brain, but I just knew that that was the message that God was saying. I want you to come to me for wisdom. I want you to learn to hear my voice. And this is why he said that, because your dad is not going to be around forever. And so you need to learn to hear my voice on your own. Now that was a big scary for me. You know, I had depended on a flesh and blood father for a number of years. And now God was asking me to make a transition and depend on him. And basically God was trying to move me out of the spiritual nursery into the toddler room. How many know it's stage by stage? We don't go from nursery to mature. Doesn't happen that way. Wish we could, but it takes years to get to spiritual maturity, and you just got to move to the next stage. You know, when God says do something, then do it. And if you're faithful in that, and then God will eventually move you to the next stage. But it requires listening and obeying. Well, I want to spend the rest of our time today looking at some ways that God speaks to us. I actually got 6. I think I'll probably get through 3 today and finish the rest next week. But number one, God speaks to us through his word. His written word, the Bible. The Bible is the most reliable way to hear. The Bible is the most reliable way to hear God speak to us. And all the other ways God speaks that we're going to address, they all have to line up and be consistent with the Word of God. If you ever hear something you think is God, but it doesn't really line up with Scripture, throw it out. Amen. Throw it out. There's lots of voices coming at us. And we got to make sure, this is one of the ways that we make sure that what we're hearing is God, is because it lines up with Scripture. I believe perhaps even 80% of, if not more, of what we need to know in life about how to live, how to make decisions, how to deal with family, how to handle our finances is already in the Word of God. One of the most commonly asked questions that people ask pastors is, Pastor, how can I know the will of God? I want to know the will of God for my life. My answer, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Most of what you know is there. I want to give you a few examples. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God concerning you. So God's will is that we give thanks in all circumstances, not just the favorable ones. And so when you're doing that, guess what? You're doing the will of God. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, everybody say doing good. By doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. God's will, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? God's will is for you to go around doing good. It's right there in Scripture. That's what Jesus did in Acts 10:38. Said God anointed Jesus and he went about doing good and healing. Doing good and healing. So we're just modeling Jesus, following him. And then there's 1 Thessalonians 4:3 said, it is God's will that you should be sanctified and that you should avoid sexual immorality. So, listen, God's will, Pastor, what's God's will? God's will is for you to be sanctified. That means to be holy. That means to be set apart. That means to live differently than the world. Don't have the world's values. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But we are to live separated lives, consecrated lives. That's kind of one of the themes that kept coming up in our prayer life. I mean, our prayer times, is that God wants us to live consecrated lives, dedicated to Him, holy to Him, set apart from the world. Then also, Scripture says God's will is that you avoid sexual immorality. Well, Pastor, what is that? That is any kind of sexual activity outside of the covenant of marriage.
Yeah.
Ooh, it got quiet in here.
Amen.
And by the way, God is not flexible on this. God is not adjusting His theology to fit the 21st century values of our society. You know, what He said back then, He means now. It's just as good for us now as it was for them. Hallelujah. Listen, this is just three things where it says God's will. This is God's will for your life. This alone would keep you busy for a while, right? And here's what I believe, that if you focus on doing the will of God that you know, then God will reveal His specific will for your life that you don't know. Did you get that? I mean, there's some specific things about God. Who do I need to marry? What college do I need to go to? On and on it goes. And God wants to guide us in those specific areas that are specific for your life. And God deals with us individually. He knows you individually. He knows every detail about your life. He made you. He designed you, created you, has a call on your life. He knows what decisions you need to make, what path that you need to go. And God does want to guide you. But if we're not doing the 80% that's in the Scripture, right? How did I put that? If we're not doing the plain will of God revealed in Scripture, why should He reveal anything more to us, right? And you're quiet out there. I suddenly get, you just got really quiet out there. God speaking to you?
That's a good point.
Thank you, honey. Every once in a while, a pastor needs a little encouragement. You know, like, amen, hallelujah. You're doing good. I'm going to get a complex up here if you guys get too quiet. Psalms 119, verse 105. Says, your word, David said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word illuminates our path, shows us the way to walk, shows us where not to walk, all the detours that we need to avoid. I want to show you a couple photos. A few years ago, I went caving with a world-class caver. I didn't know it at the time, but I've since discovered that he's got websites and social media. And this is Samuel coming out of this cave. Samuel and Anessa and myself went with this gentleman. This cave, this entrance of this cave was so, you could have just walked by there and not even noticed that, thought that was a cave. But it was. Here's little old me trying to make my way out, you know. It was tight. I mean, about halfway down there, I got claustrophobic and thought, God, do not let me die in the entrance of this cave. Here I am trying to get my way out. Ah! Here's the three amigos inside of the cave. And I think there's one more. Oh, you got to look kind of that way, but this kind of shows you the expanse. I mean, it was I don't know, 30, 40 feet high and maybe a mile long. It was a huge cave. But at some point, you know, we had these headlamps and flashlights. And at one point, we all turned our lights off just to see how dark it was. It was so dark in there. I mean, I've never seen dark like that. I couldn't see it. And I just realized that we would have never made our way out of that cave without lights. We couldn't have found the right way out. We would have taken one detour after the other. And in the same way, we can't navigate life successfully without the Word of God. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're going to take one wrong turn after the other, one detour after the other, go over one cliff after the other without the written Word of God to be our lamp and our light and to tell us where to go.
Amen.
And how to live.
Right.
And how to succeed. Here's the second way that God speaks to us. God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. God is a spirit. How many know that? God's a spirit. Doesn't have a body. I mean, Jesus has a body now, but God the Father, Holy Spirit, they don't have a body. God's spirit. And He speaks directly to your born again, recreated spirit. How many know your bodies, if you're a believer, are the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
That's what Scripture says. We wouldn't even imagine such a thing if it wasn't in Scripture. That the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and lives in my body when I put my trust in God. Absolutely. Your body becomes the temple of the living God. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to you from that location. So God does not speak to you from heaven. God speaks to you from the dwelling place called your body, where He has come to live and come to dwell. So it's really not that far that God has to speak, because He's already there. He's already the inside. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit goes with you.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit is ever present in you to speak to you and to guide you and to inform you and maybe correct you and sometimes even warn you if you're going the right direction. Somebody say amen. 2 verse 9 and 10, it says this about the Holy Spirit speaking and revealing. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. These are all things that are mysteries to the human mind. There's so many things that God has in store for us, things that He wants us to know, mysteries that He wants to reveal to us. We can't know them outside of the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say, but it was to us that God, listen to this, revealed these things by His Spirit. He reveals these mysteries, these things that we don't know, these things we need to know. How does He do it? Well, we got the written Word of God, that gets a lot of it, but the rest of it, the Holy Spirit who dwells in it, is revealing these things to us. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful teacher.
Amen.
He is the wonderful counselor. And He wants to illuminate the Scriptures to us, things that are a mystery to us. How many have ever read the Scriptures and you go, what does that mean? I don't have a clue what that means. I'm still reading Scriptures. I don't know what it means. But if I live long enough, which I probably won't, Holy Spirit can reveal more and more and more. I'm not going to learn it all. I'm going to have all eternity, you know, to understand. But, you know, the Holy Spirit just wants to unveil. I look at it like a sculptor guy, you know. And he has a sculpture and he's about ready to unveil it. And it's all covered with cloth. And at the right time, the crowd gathers around and he pulls that off and unveils this masterpiece. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with the truth and the mysteries of God's Word, is just unveil it to us and reveal it to us. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, the Living Bible says, but the man who isn't a Christian can't understand and can't accept these thoughts from God. They can't hear the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him, because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. I like to think of reading the Bible as going on a treasure hunt. And every time you get in the Bible, yeah, there's surface things that you can glean, but man, there's this rich truth. There's gold nuggets of spiritual truth and mystery and life that's buried in the Word of God. And if we ask Him, the Holy Spirit, He will unveil those to us. He will reveal those truths to us. Amen. And you get a hold of some of those truths and it can change your life. It can change your marriage. It can open up financial blessings to you. Man. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, "The revelation of your word brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced." So it's not just the word, it's the revelation of the word that brings light to us. You know, in the early 20th century, there was a Russian peasant boy who was diligently taught the scripture as he was growing up in the home. His parents were believers, and they diligently taught him the scripture. In fact, he memorized a great deal of the scripture, including all four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He memorized great portions of scripture. But he never put his faith in Christ. Holy Spirit never lived in him to illuminate the scriptures. And eventually he grew up to become the leader of the Soviet Union. His name was Nikita Khrushchev. And he was responsible for the death of thousands of his fellow Russians, some who were very personal friends of his. He closed more Christian churches than any other Soviet leader. He died a militant atheist. Why? Because he never had the Holy Spirit living in him to reveal the truth of the scripture. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak? Well, he can speak with words. He can use words, just like we use words. You're not likely to hear an audible voice, though I have ran into people who said they have. I never have, but I think it's possible. But in Acts 10, Peter was on the rooftop of a patio, waiting for lunch to be prepared for him, doing a little praying. And then God gave him a vision, and after the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. This is Acts 10:19. It says, "While Peter was still thinking about the vision," we have that up there, "the Spirit said," everybody say said. "The Spirit said to him," spoke words, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them to you." Peter heard words. I don't think they were audible. I think they were in his spirit. But he clearly heard the voice of the Holy Spirit giving him some instructions on what to do. One author described the voice of the Holy Spirit. How can you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? We've got our own voice, got voice of others, sometimes the enemy speaking to us, accusing spirits. How do we recognize? One author described the voice of the Holy Spirit as intersecting thoughts. Intersecting thoughts. Another author, a guy named Mark Verkler, who wrote a book on hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, he described hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit as spontaneous thoughts that light upon our minds. Spontaneous thoughts that light upon our minds. So in other words, you are in a train of thought, and suddenly you have an intersecting thought. Suddenly, you have a spontaneous thought that lights upon your mind. If that thought lines up with Scripture, quite possibly and probably, that is the Holy Spirit. Bobby heard the voice of the Holy Spirit one time, and because she acted on that, it probably saved her life and maybe the life of our kids. She was driving one day down by Fred Meyer. She was at a four-way stop. And she had every intention to go straight across. But as she began to pull out, she heard the Holy Spirit say, "Turn right." Am I right? Turn right. And she hesitated for a moment, but she followed that Holy Spirit. She turned right. Just as she did, there was a driver coming down at a high rate of speed that blew through his stop sign. What was it, a truck? Big pickup type thing? Big pickup blew through at a high rate of speed, blew through the intersection, and just as she turned, just narrowly missed her. Now, if she would have heeded that voice, that truck would have T-boned her, and I'm sure somebody would have been injured, if not killed. How many know it pays to listen to those intersecting thoughts? Another way the Holy Spirit speaks is through inner promptings. It's not a voice, it's not words, but you are prompted to do something. You are nudged in a direction. Some of these things are hard to describe, to find words to, but you know, I think you know what I'm talking about if you've been around, been a believer. Or maybe you just know something. You don't know. Well, how do you know? I don't know how I know. I just know. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, He's nudging you. He's prompting you. My mom and I were talking along these lines the other day, and you know, she was telling me that, you know, over the years, We've had a lot of prophetic people, ministers, guest speakers in that just, I mean, they were tuned in, man. They could prophesy over people, get words for people, get words for the church. And she said she always felt bad because she was not able to hear those prophetic words. In fact, sometimes I remember they would call people up and say, and just come up here in front and just prophesy whatever God, you know, lays on your heart. And some of us, we weren't really hearing anything. And I remember she was called up a couple times and just didn't really get anything. It was kind of embarrassing to her, and she felt bad about that. But one day there was a guy here, I think it was Wes Campbell, I believe, from Canada, had a real prophetic ministry. And he went up to her prophetically and said, the way that God speaks to you is not necessarily the way he speaks to me. God speaks to you through inner promptings. You will be prompted to write a card of encouragement to somebody. You will be prompted to give somebody a hug. You'll be prompted to pray and intercede for somebody. And he said, that is just as valid of a way of the Holy Spirit speaking to you as the way he speaks to me through prophetic utterance. And so, man, we can't put God in a box. Well, God speaks this way. He speaks a lot of different ways. And we just need to open up to that. I think really that's probably one of the primary ways that God speaks to me. I just get little nudgings. I get little promptings. And it's very easy for me to not to act on that because it's just kind of slight. It's not a big booming thing. It's just a little nudge, you know. And it's up to me to go ahead and jump in there and take a leap of faith and trust that this is God. If it's not, it's okay. You know, we don't have to be perfect in this. We don't have to be perfect in hearing God. If we miss it, it is okay. If we're just doing our best to hear from God, there's grace over all that. And we'll just learn one more way not to hear God. Well, that wasn't God. So, you know, you just learn every time, right? Amen? Here's another way that the Holy Spirit speaks. Through your conscience. He speaks through your conscience. Conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if we keep our conscience sensitive, then God can use that to correct us and to guide us and to warn us. The problem is a lot of people, a lot of Christians ignore their conscience. Yes. They ignore that little voice of their conscience because they want to do something. The Holy Spirit's saying no. Right. And they do it anyway. And what happens? They harden their conscience. The Bible calls it a seared conscience. It's like somebody take a hot iron and sear that thing and harden that thing until it's callous, and then it no longer works. And you think, oh, this is good. God's not speaking to you anymore. No, it's not good. It's not good because the Holy Spirit was trying to speak to you and you just ignored it so long and overrode that so long that it no longer works in your life. That's not a good place to be. All right, here's my final. I'm glad I cut this down to 3 instead of 6. We'll be here until 12:30. Here's the third way. God speaks through inner peace. Here's probably the second greatest way that I feel like God leads me. Inner peace. You know, as you think about a decision, as you think about a direction, it's really good to check on the inside. How many know, man, we just need to listen to the inside. We listen to our emotions, we listen to other people, but we got to listen to our spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. It's a spiritual part of us that's tapped into the spiritual world. It's not our emotions, it's not even our intellect, it's our spirit. And so we need to learn to listen to our spirit. We're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. We're so aware of our bodies, very aware of our soul, our emotions, our intellect. But so many Christians are not even aware of their spirit. They don't even know they have a spirit. So we need to learn how to develop our spirit, build up our spirit, and learn to listen to our spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking through it. Colossians 3:15, in one of the modern versions says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in decisions you make. Do we have that up there? Oh, that's the one I was going to use. Not going to use that one now. Go to the next one if we have it. If we don't have it, that's all right. Colossians 3:15. Yeah, here it is. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. So listen, inner peace is not just for your comfort, though it is, but it's also for your guidance. Peace. How many people understand this? You know that you've been taught perhaps that to listen for peace. It's a sense that when you're making decisions, I think of it sometimes as a red light, yellow light, and green light. And you're thinking about going in a direction, and you check first. Do I have a green light on this? Do I have a peace about this? I might not have all the details worked out mentally, and most of the time we don't. But if I have a peace on the inside, then I can go ahead. I can take that step of faith and trust the Holy Spirit is using that peace to guide me. But sometimes I don't have that green light. Sometimes it's a yellow light. It's a sense of caution. Like, man, you better slow down here.
Yeah.
You better pause here. You're going too fast, dude. And then sometimes, man, it is a stoplight. It is a red light. And it's just a, it's just like, this is not working on the inside. I don't feel good about this at all. Can you override that? Yes, you can. And sometimes we do, simply because I want that. I want that person. I want that thing. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you can't override it, but it usually will not work out well. Some versions say, let the peace, and I'm almost done here, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Literally, that means let peace be the umpire. You go to a sports game, when the umpire makes a call and says you're out, you might as well forget about arguing with the umpire. He gets the final say. He gets the final call. This is what the scripture said. Let peace make the final call.
Yeah.
Let peace have the final say. Your brain might be going crazy about all kinds of options. Let peace make the final call. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand this morning. You know, I just believe because God loves His people, that He has always spoken to His people. He's continually speaking to us. I believe anybody can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you want to. And it just takes time. It takes practice. The longer you do it, the more you practice, the easier it will be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's always good to have music. There was a prophet in the Old Testament that needed to prophesy. He couldn't prophesy until there was a musician that came and started playing. Remember that? Was that Elijah? Elisha? Thank you, Lord. Let's just pause for a moment and maybe just take a second to reflect on what's been shared and ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? What is the one thing that you want me to know walking out of here? What is the one thing you want me to do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Lord, we're so grateful to be under the care of a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Jesus, we gladly and willingly submit our lives to Your care, the Good Shepherd. We say, speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Lord, as we move into the next year, give us a sensitivity that we haven't had in the past to discern Your voice. We pray as Solomon did, God, give us a God-listening heart. Give us a hearing heart, Lord. Give us a tender heart. God, if we've ignored Your voice, we've seared our conscience, please forgive us. Please forgive us, Lord. And tenderize our heart again. Soften our heart. Soften our heart. We want to hear You. You know, this is a odd altar call. I've never had an altar call for this before. And it would probably take some courage to respond. But I'm wondering if there's anybody here that you think you might fit into that category. Well, man, I just kind of have, maybe not on purpose, but I just overridden the voice of the Holy Spirit so long that I no longer hear. Kind of ignored my conscience to a point where I just don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit like I need to. Anybody here? If that's you, just come up front. I want to pray for you. I know it's going to take some courage to do that, but
freedom, though.
Freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a courageous man, courageous gal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's. And frankly, I think all of us probably could be in that category from time to time. Have I ever ignored the Holy Spirit? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, God's going to honor your courage today. God's going to honor your courage. He's doing a work in you. He's going to soften your heart, make it pliable, make it tender. He's going to open your ears to hear as you have never heard before. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Father, we just say forgive us. We're just going to be honest with you. We've ignored your voice. We've ignored our conscience. But Lord, we're asking for forgiveness. We're asking for restoration. We're asking that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation. Renew a right spirit in us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Just bless each one in Jesus' name. And just do business with the Lord. You know where you need to do business. Lord, forgive me for ignoring your voice in this area, for overriding your direction in this area. Forgive us, Lord. Tenderize our heart. Tenderize our heart. Every single one of us here can pray this. Lord, tenderize my heart. And give me ears to hear. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here that you've never received Christ as your personal Savior? Never put your faith and trust in Him. You can't say without a shadow of a doubt, if I appeared before the gates of heaven and Christ said, why should I let you in? You would have the answer. Anybody here, I want to pray for you. I never know. I just want to give you an opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, Father, again, it's been so good to be in your house. As we go, Lord, continue to tune our ears into you. Thank you for your word that just shows us how the different ways that you speak to us. And we want to be sensitive to that. We don't want to put you in a box. And Lord, I believe that from this point on, we're going to hear you better than we have in the past. We're going to be sensitive to your voice. And you have some things you want to say to us, some mysteries to unfold, some guidance that you want to give. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.